You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
All right, welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Gertz. Mike Blewett is indisposed at the minute. So Pete Considori and I are going to talk a little hockey. How you doing this morning, Pete?
Pretty good. I'm still adjusting to losing that hour of sleep, but we'll get there.
Yeah. I guess it's a good thing, right? We lose an hour of sleep, but we do gain an hour of daylight.
This is true.
Of course, we're also getting a big blizzard tomorrow. Where do you live, Pete?
Westchester County. So southern Westchester County. So we're gonna get hit.
Yeah, we're gonna get. I think what they're calling for a blizzard, 12 to 18 inches of snow.
It's gonna be great.
Winter just. Yeah, great. That's the word I would use. Sure, great.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, winter just won't leave without saying goodbye.
No, absolutely not. And as you were saying yesterday, the shoveling is the worst part. You know, it's one thing if it snows and you get to say, oh, I can't come into work because of the commute, but then you got to shovel all day.
Yeah, and it's backbreaking. Shuffling. Shoveling is just no fun. But let's talk a little bit of hockey, Pete.
All right.
And let's talk about your Rangers there, Pete. Pete's a New York Ranger fan. I am not. Henrik Lundqvist, out 2 to 3 weeks. How you feeling about this?
Yeah, he's out with a hip injury. You know what? I'm still pretty confident in Ranta. They recall Hellberg on an emergency basis as well, just as a backup. He did well in his few starts that he had back last year, and I think he maybe started once this year as well. So I'm confident. Ranta's a high caliber backup. You know, I would say, you know, he's not Talbot, but I put my confidence in him.
Yes, I'm not really worried. Fantasy wise, not worried about Anto Ranta. If he's available on your waiver wire, you should be going out and grabbing him.
And he's not too expensive. He's not too expensive on daily either.
No, and he. I wonder when the price is going to get jacked up.
It might.
You know. For now, if he's starting, I'm probably going to have to go with him. I agree with you there. You know, there's another goalie. Roberto Luongo doesn't have the same timeline, but Luongo has been out about a week right now. And I think the curious thing about him is he said, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be back. The team said a week. Luongo doesn't seem to know how. Tried to practice. I believe it was Thursday. Really didn't do all that well. Didn't make it through. How you feeling about James Reimer?
You know, I like him as a goalie. I'm not sure how you would like him fantasy-wise. I feel like he's inconsistent on the fantasy end, just in my opinion. But on if you want to talk just season-wise and team-wise, I think it's a good fit for the Panthers to have him. They're in the playoff run, if you want to think about it. If you talk about the standings in the Atlantic between Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Florida, it's really only a 7-point spread, so anything can happen still for the wild card slot there. So, fantasy-wise, I'm not too sure if you want to put your trust in him for the points, but as a whole, I think the team, you know, can rely on him because they also have a good defensive core as well that can help him out.
Yeah, Florida's been an interesting team. They suffered injuries all season long. Huberdeau was out for a while. And then they went on that great West Coast trip, and they really blew everybody away, won a whole bunch of games there, came home and fell apart.
Yeah.
Lost again last night to Tampa Bay, 3-2. The night before that, they got shellacked by Minnesota.
And the Tampa Bay game was I'm sorry to interrupt. The Tampa Bay game was a huge game because they're like right behind Tampa Bay in the standings with only 4 points behind. So with that win, that could have been a much closer gap too.
They can't lose that game.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay came in without – I mean, literally, I think every center on their roster was hurt. Tyler Johnson didn't play. Nemestikov didn't play. Paquette didn't play. They traded Brian Boyle. Stamkos not ready to come back yet. That's a game you have to win if you're the Florida Panthers there.
Absolutely.
So a shame. Well, not a shame. And, you know, speaking of the Lightning here, if you're a Ben Bishop owner, how did you feel that he was traded to the Kings at the trade deadline?
You know, if I was an owner of Ben Bishop, I'd be disappointed. He's going from possible starter to now just a backup, so his production is going to be way lower than what you had as a starter, obviously. So you'd probably have to trade or look at the waiver wire and maybe possibly drop him. Not because he's not a good goalie, but because that backup slot, if Quick is healthy, he's going to be playing every game. So that value drops dramatically from that trade.
Yeah, that's an absolute killer. I mean, I'm a Ben Bishop owner, I probably want to throw up a little bit in my mouth after seeing that. You go from a top 10 goaltender to an afterthought, a backup.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much insurance for the Kings. So that was certainly concerning. You know, let's talk about the Kings for a second. You know, I know he won't win it, but Jeff Carter has had a fantastic season and should absolutely be in consideration for the MVP. How are you feeling about Jeff Carter?
Jeff Carter is amazing. He's been producing every single game. I mean, I can't tell you how many points he's gotten in the past, like, 10 games because it's just so many. He's an overtime stud. If the Kings ever go to overtime, you have Jeff Carter, you're probably getting points from that. So, you know, he should be in the running for MVP. Like you said, he probably won't get it, but he's a top contender in my book.
Yeah, mine too. He's really had a – I mean, he's kept the Kings afloat in the Western Conference there, Pacific Division. How about Jimmy Howard? Comes back from the injury, beats the Chicago Blackhawks the other night. What are you doing in Detroit? You had a choice right now. You can only start one, Jimmy Howard or Peter Mrazek. Who are you starting?
I'm starting Howard. He's coming back. He had a great win against the dominating Blackhawks. The Blackhawks have been dominating for the past 5-6 years, so it's definitely improving. It's definitely a great sign. And the Red Wings have a little bit of wiggle room because they were sellers this trade deadline, and I don't think they're getting to the playoffs. You know, they had that 25-year run. I think they want to kind of rebuild a little bit, get some young players and stuff. So as sellers during the draft deadline and kind of being out of the playoff run, I think a lot of that pressure off Jimmy Howard is relieved, so he can actually be a little more free in his movements and not have that constant pressure, okay, we got to get to the playoffs again this year. So I think it's great. I think you should start him. If you have better options, I would start them, but I'm pretty confident Jimmy Howard for Detroit.
I think the best thing that happened to the Red Wings, you mentioned they've made the playoffs for 25 straight seasons. The best thing that's going to happen to them is that they won't make it this year because it'll force them to rebuild.
Yeah,
I think they've been trying to – I mean, Detroit's a big market, the original six team. I get it. You don't want to just break it down.
Absolutely.
You want to keep going for this record, but they need to rebuild in a big way. There's no more Pavel Datsyuk. Lidstrom's gone. There's really nobody. When you think of Detroit, Zetterberg's nice, but he's up there in age too. There's no one to watch here. So, Pete, right now, put your Ranger allegiance aside. Who's winning the Stanley Cup?
I think it's going to be someone from the Metro. I don't think the Penguins have a repeat. I'm thinking possibly the Capitals or the Blue Jackets. More Capitals. You know, I hope the President's Trophy curse doesn't happen to them, or if they win the league, they don't win the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's only happened a couple times in history. If you win the President's Trophy, you go on to win the big show and the big championship. However, they've just been dominant. And then I could see the Blue Jackets come playoff season. If they face Pittsburgh first round, I see them knocking Pittsburgh out. I don't see Pittsburgh repeating this year.
All right, so who are they beating?
I think Columbus is beating the Sharks.
Sharks! Oh, look at that. Sharks get back and they lose for the second season in a row.
I think so.
All right. I don't mind it. I think I have San Jose as my number five team overall, but they're a team that I think is deep as pretty much anything. I have Columbus as my number seven team. Rangers would be six with Minnesota, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Washington in that reverse order. Be my top four teams there. So I like it. I think Columbus may be 1 year ahead of the schedule here as far as being a true cup contender, but I do love the way they're playing. A lot of good young talent there. The Sharks, I actually picked them to represent the West, as you did, before the season started. I guess I've soured on them a little bit, but nothing major there. I just like the way the Blackhawks are playing.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are playing great, but I mean, if you look at the Pacific division as a whole, if it stays the same right now, it's Calgary, Anaheim, and then Edmonton with the wild card, they're going to have no problems going through the Pacific. It's when they get to the Central in the conference final that will be a little iffy, but I feel like they can get past the Blackhawks if need be.
I said it's fun. This playoff hockey, personally, I don't think there's anything like it. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
An overtime playoff hockey?
Oh
it's
man.
It's just psychotic.
I don't sit down. I'm standing up the entire overtime.
Yeah, you're a Ranger fan. I'm an Islander fan. When our teams are involved in overtime, everything, a dumping scares the life out of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Pete, so much. Pete Cacciatore,
our esteemed
producer behind the glass.
Yeah, nice. He dominated that hockey segment with you, George. And by the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, I was at the basketball tournament that I went to. It was the Atlantic 10 tournament. VCU will play Rhode Island in the championship game there today. But it was at PPG Paints Arena. I think they used to refer to it as Console Energy or whatever, another corporate name
Don't start with me, Mike.
Corporate name flip, but it's pretty sweet. The place isn't that old, and it's pretty big. I think they can seat like 19,000. It wasn't full for the tournaments that I was at, but nice place. They did a really nice job with it. You know, I've been to a lot of arenas and stadiums over the years, and I have to say that that's a pretty nice one. If you ever get a chance to go up there, if you haven't been, if you ever get a chance to go up there for a game, Rangers or Islanders, whatever, I suggest you do it. It's in a good spot of town. A lot to do in Pittsburgh, especially in that area, because the stadium's right downtown. So between PPG Paints and Heinz Field and PNC Park, they're all within like a mile of one another. So pretty cool stuff. And Heinz and PNC are right on the river. PPG Paints is not too far away, maybe a half mile or so.
Thank
you. I highly recommend it. Got myself a terrible towel while I was in Pittsburgh, George. I tried to go to... I was going to go over to Heinz Field to see if I could do a tour, do any of that kind of stuff, sort of nerdy football fan stuff, but it wasn't to be. They have no tours between Halloween and April. They kind of shut it down during the off season, so I didn't get a chance to do that. I don't know that I would have had enough free time anyway, but it was decided. I checked before I went, and it was a done deal. So, unfortunately, I did not get that, but got myself a terrible towel, got my son a little, like, Steelers workout shirt, so maybe I'm just planting the seed now. If he wants to follow in Daddy's footsteps and be a Steelers fan, he can do that.
I don't have that. With two little girls, I don't generally have that problem. Although I'm not going to be on.
How do they feel about sports in general, though? Do they like football? Is there anything that they like to watch?
My youngest, Madison, seems to like hockey. You know, she'll sit and watch a little bit of hockey. She was last night watching the games with me. My oldest
likes
football.
Have you taken her to a game?
They can't last a three-hour game. That's not going to happen. I've taken them to... Yeah, and I'm not taking them to, you know, I'm not taking them to Yankee Stadium, where I got to leave early now. I take them to a couple of Long Island Ducks games. This way, if we have to leave early, not a big deal. Independent League, I can survive. But at least at the Independent League games, they have things for the kids to do. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
They make it more fun for them. It's more more young kid friendly. So generally,
that's how
we approach that.
I broke my son in his sports viewing. I broke him in last year with a Hofstra basketball game. It was nice and easy. Hofstra University plays in the CAA. A few miles from my house. We lasted a half for his first game. That was a year ago. I took him to his second game just a few weeks ago, and he lasted the whole game. But we kind of had to move around the arena a little bit. You know, he had to take a picture with the mascot. We needed to get some snacks going. We needed to get a hot dog in there, and beyond that. I did the exact same thing you did with your daughters. I took him to a Long Island Ducks game because my thought, as it was getting towards the end of the season, the Yankees were out of it. I was like, well, maybe I'll take him to a Yanks game. But I said, first, let me take him to a Ducks game to kind of break him in. And I'm glad I did that because it proved to me that he could not last at a professional baseball game. And what would be the point of spending, $150 to do that with the guy?
Take you out a second mortgage.
Yeah, with the little guy that just doesn't even really want to be there. So I take him to the Long Island Ducks game. We bought probably the best tickets in the house, which was also a waste. But the best tickets in the house are probably $12. So he got to go on a bouncy house about 100 times, and that's really all he wanted to do. He got ice cream, he got to go on a bouncy house, and he was good to go. I watched relatively little baseball, especially considering the fact I was inside a baseball stadium.
Ducks are a nice game. It's a nice atmosphere there. It's very relaxed. Not too many people getting into the game. It's independent league baseball. But at the end, that's where Rich Hill was at one point.
Yeah. Bud Harrelson still runs the show there. He basically is the face and the franchise of the Long Island Ducks. Former Mets manager, former Mets player. So. So that's the deal. You know, I do recommend that experience, and certainly I'll continue to – I think I'll try to continue to take my son to some of those arenas. It's something I've always liked to do. I've been involved in the sports world my whole life, just whether I was playing or I was a fan or I've been in it in the business world, and now obviously you and I are broadcasters. I've had a lot of ins and outs in the sports world in my life, and it's been a lot of fun for me. So, you know, maybe my son will get to be a part of that. And my daughter, too. You know, she's only a year, just over a year and a half old. So we'll see what she's interested in when she really seems to be interested. All she is obsessed with is my phone and trying to play YouTube videos on it. So we got a little bit of a ways to go. In any event, George and I will be back to talk about that and a little bit more around the NFL and the free agency frenzy on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, one thing I just wanted to mention before, George, I'm getting to a little bit of football, but one thing I wanted to mention is that coming up in a couple of weeks is Tout Wars weekend, so a lot of big-time baseball drafts are occurring, and we're going to be doing sort of wall-to-wall coverage on it. It ranges from Friday the 24th through Sunday the 26th. George, myself, and Matt Modica will be on air from 7 to 10 on those on the 25th and the 26th. But just to give you an idea, we're going to be having a ton of guests coming up on those shows and all throughout the days on this network. So for those of you that want to listen in to get some expert opinions on drafts, on players for the year, hopefully you have some later drafts as well. It'd be a really great time to listen in to some of the biggest experts in the entire fantasy baseball world coming into Tout Wars weekend. So that'll be what we're doing, George. I'd be kind of excited. We'll bump into a lot of experts, some guys that we know, some guys that I'll be introduced to for the first time.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Tout, one of the bigger, I guess, bigger events fantasy baseball-wise of the season. We've had labor. We've had the FSTA draft. So looking forward to it as well, Mike.
Yeah, we'll be doing some sort of kind of live updates of drafts, and we'll bring guys in. We can kind of keep you posted on that type of stuff. It's always kind of a fun thing to do, you know, we'll be right in the center of it at Rock and Riley's in Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, and some of the guys will be in there with us. So in any event, I just want to give you folks a heads up. We'll have more specific details, but suffice to say, George and I will be here 7 to 10, both of those, be there 7 to 10, both of those days. And Matt is going to be competing. He is, what has he got? That Friday night, he's got an NFBC auction. And he'll stay on an extra hour before the main event. So, yeah, the main event will be that Saturday. In any event, that's the deal. Stay tuned, and we'll be here to give you all of that coverage. So getting back to NFL free agency, George, and obviously a bunch of pieces have been in place. How did you grade, and I didn't get a chance to hear your thought, how do you grade what the Bears decided to do with Glennon? You like that move?
So I like that move. I mean, it's a gamble. You don't know.
It's not that expensive, though.
$14-15 million. It's not. I guess I'm surprised he didn't get a little longer term, but I guess it's about right. Maybe teams are shying a little bit away after the Osweiler fiasco. He threw 11 NFL passes last season. Nobody knows. You don't know how good he's going to be. The Bears don't have a exactly great offensive talent around him. They do have a running game. You know, Jordan Howard. They look to have found that. But I said, bottom line is, it's the definition of today's NFL. You have to take a chance on a quarterback. It's why so many get drafted early, because even if they don't deserve to be, because you have to take a chance. If you don't have a quarterback, you cannot compete in this league. It's all designed for the quarterback, designed to put up points. So while I don't love it, I understand it. And so they had to get somebody. If they didn't like what they saw, what was going on in the draft, you know, and they have, what, the third pick overall, so maybe they're thinking, well, if Cleveland takes the quarterback and San Fran takes one, we don't get our choice anyway. Now we're getting choice three. That's not going to work. Or maybe they didn't even like choice two in case one of them takes a quarterback and one doesn't. So I get it. You know, Glennon, I guess as far as free agency was concerned, young guys, was right up there with Garoppolo, and he's going to be he wasn't going to cost you with draft picks that Garoppolo's going to cost you. So I get it, but to tell you I love it, no, I can't tell you that, but I understand it.
I think it's a reasonable chance for them to take, right? They're closing the book on Cutler, moving on from him. $14.5 million, I think, is the average on Glennon's deal, and it's a 3-year deal. Now, I say it's an appropriate risk in that, considering what other teams have dedicated to that position, it's okay, right? Like, from a money perspective, the Cowboys aren't going to keep Tony Romo there to be a backup at that money. But if you did keep Tony Romo at his current salary, you're only paying Dak Prescott $600,000. So relative to other teams, they're not spending much more than what the Packers are spending and what the Ravens are spending and what the Falcons are spending. But, it, you know, it just doesn't make sense financially to keep somebody around as a backup for that kind of money. But what I'm saying with the Bears is you've got Mike Glennon in there at $14.5 million per. You know, with the other backups they have there, they're not outspending other teams. And if they decide to draft a rookie, they still won't be outspending other teams. They're still there. It'll still be, while that rookie contract will be a significant amount of guarantees, the average annual salary won't be backbreaking, especially with the increase in the salary cap. You can keep Glennon around and develop a younger guy. But what I'm starting to think now, the book is out on the quarterbacks. We all know that they're not as valuable as some of these other guys that have been drafted recently, like an Andrew Luck. And it's not going to be as valuable, graded, as Sam Darnold will be, who is likely to be the number one overall pick next year, certainly the first quarterback taken in next year's draft, the USC redshirt sophomore. So what my question, what I really want to ask you, I know I've been talking for a while, but what I wanted to get to is that the grades are out on these quarterbacks. A lot of the consensus is that they're certainly not worthy of being drafted at the top of the first round, if at all, in the first round. Do you think, because typically this doesn't happen, that cooler heads will prevail and these teams will wait until the second round to draft? The Bears don't have to do anything this year in the first round. They don't have to. The Niners don't have to. Although I still think they're going to want a young guy to develop. But that Kirk Cousins thing is still hanging out there, right? Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent next year. The Browns, you know, they like the pass rusher. They don't have to spend. They can, you know, they're rolling in there with Cody Kessler right now and whomever else is on that roster, and Osweiler and whoever else is on that roster come July. So do you think cooler heads will prevail? Nobody really trades up. They just kind of let the quarterbacks go as necessary. And teams start scooping guys up in the second round. Like, a second round becomes fast and furious with some of these projects and some of these other guys that they feel are a better value in the second round than they are in the first. So do you think that is a possibility?
Nope. Not in the least. We see it over and over in the NFL. I think quarterbacks are going to go probably either Cleveland trades out and or San Fran does if they don't believe in the quarterback. Someone else will. You know, I'll say it again. It's a quarterback league. You need to take chances here. It's why I don't crush Houston for signing Osweiler last year. I understood it. They liked what maybe they liked what they saw on Denver in 15. Thought, hey, he's a free agent. These guys don't become free agents all that often. Young quarterbacks who have work in the NFL who we think we can build upon, you know, we'll go out and sign him. And, you know, everyone acts like Denver made the right move. Denver wanted to keep Osweiler as well. You know, they were just outbid by Houston. So
yeah, they gave him a good deal.
Right. Houston offered more. And I think Osweiler may be a little bit mad that they went back to Manning in the playoffs there. Maybe he was upset. Whatever. That's the Osweiler situation. But that just shows you what goes on in today's NFL. You know, without a quarterback, you cannot win. You know, you just can't. And it's hard to sell it to your fan base. How is San Fran going to sell Brian Hoyer to that fan base? Not going to happen. How's Cleveland going to, I don't know, Cody Kessler? You know, how are they going to sell that? It's not going to happen. You know, so I expect, I don't think, while I wouldn't shock if they trade down, the team that's trading into that spot is probably taking a quarterback. You know, I think Cleveland and San Fran, it'd be tough. Even though you know what I know, and everybody knows it. The quarterbacks aren't the one and two best players available. They aren't. It's not even close. I mean, you said it about the first segment that they're probably not first-round picks. If you're just going by BPA, they're probably not first-round picks. But teams are going to draft for need. Quarterback is a need. And that's just because we don't think they're first-round picks. Odds are, you know, one of the top four or five quarterbacks, maybe even two of them, will turn out to be good NFL quarterbacks. You know, the question is, no one really knows which one. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, teams, you know, I was thrown out there for a discussion point because I just wonder if cooler heads prevail, but they typically don't. I'm with you on the Houston to Osweiler thing. I said many times, and you were right there with me, in the summer, This is a huge gamble for the Texans because we don't know what Osweiler is, and what we saw was kind of mixed. He was pretty good with Denver, but it was with a championship-level team. And they were taking a big bet on somebody. As it turns out, the coach didn't even really want him, which is odd. But they took a chance. They evaluated properly and were honest with their mistake, and they moved him, which is unbelievable that they were able to move him, but they did. And now they go back to trying to figure it out. But they took an appropriate risk and realized that they had made a mistake and moved on from it, right? That's why we don't crush them. It is a risk you kind of, in some ways, have to make. Now, picking the wrong quarterback, like what the Rams did, and picking a guy and giving up a lot and being wrong can crush you. But in free agency, you know, take some chances. That's why with the Bears move, it's in some ways it's like the Osweiler move. Like the Bears are pretty damn far from being a championship team or contending for winning even divisional championships. But I think it's an appropriate risk to take with Glennon, and then they can develop somebody, whether it's the third pick or the second round pick.
I agree. I mean, I can't argue you there. I'd like to. It'd be fun to argue, but I completely agree with you. I think you're right. I mean, if you're going to take a chance, you'd rather do it in free agency than one of your draft picks. So I think that does make perfect sense there. I think for Chicago, it made all the sense in the world because they realize, well, do we really want to trade up? You know, they go from three to go from two to go to two to one. It doesn't sound like much, but it's going to cost you a lot. So we stay at three. We may not get the quarterback we want anyway, if it's Deshaun Watson or whoever it is that they have ranked number one. You know, and we might not even get our second guy if it goes the wrong for us. Just because you and I think, and I think it does make logical sense, but maybe not NFL sense, where a Cleveland and or San Fran should take a BPA and maybe take that that war daddy pass rusher, or whoever they have is the best player available, doesn't mean they will. They may feel the pressure to go for a quarterback as well. You know, I think Cleveland is really the fun part of this draft because they have that 12th pick. So they could play the game you and I are talking about. Not take a quarterback, even if they don't make a trade for Garoppolo. You know, they can't get him. New England's telling the truth. They're not dealing him. So they take Myles Garrett at one, or whoever their number one pass rusher is, and then wait to 12 to see if one of these quarterbacks does fall. It's a huge gamble, because if none does, you know, San Fran takes a quarterback, the Jets take a quarterback, maybe someone else trades up in there and takes a quarterback. Well, then, you know, they're going to, once again, rue the day they decided to pass on Carson Wentz.
True. But I also don't feel like, given the number of picks that they have, that they should feel pressured to take a quarterback in the first round. I think they should be taking the best guy, whether it's Garrett, and if they want to say it's Allen, that's fine. It's up to them to evaluate it. Some people have said Allen is going to be a safer pick.
I've heard that too, yeah.
Garrett lit the world on fire at the combine. He runs really funny. Did you watch any of him?
Yeah, I did.
He's got a funny gait, but he's sort of fluid athletically overall, but he's got a really, like, everything's kind of moving on him when he runs. He's not a straight line runner. I don't have any thoughts about that being a negative. It's just he's got a very funny running style, but he's fast enough and he jumps out of the gym. So he's plenty explosive. But, you know, as we continue this quarterback discussion, I think what's interesting, George, is that Romo clearly is the prize piece out there, right? And we got
he's
two
the next,
landing.
He's the next big shoe to drop.
Yeah, and we got two landing spots for him. So one of those, and Denver, frankly, has two kind of developmental guys, so they can keep rolling with that. I think they're not content in doing that, obviously, but say they didn't get Romo, like, why would they do anything else? They're not going to bring Jay Cutler back. Colin Kaepernick is out there.
Yay. The problem with Denver is that I think this is what John Elway is looking at things. How much longer are we going to have a championship-style defense for? You know, and you're not going to have – it's not – right. In today's NFL with the salary cap, it's not going to last long-term. You need to take advantage of that while you can. That's why Romo does make sense. Because and let's face it, if they get Romo, that's 2 to 3 years you'll have Romo. So you could trade Simeon. And I'm not saying you're going to get great value back for Simeon, but odds are, I would think, that whatever you trade Romo for, you know, a fourth-round pick, third-round pick, whatever it comes out to, you might be able to recoup that with Simeon. So you're really not losing anything there other than salary cap that Romo was going to cost you there. You know, and you get the better quarterback there. Paxton Lynch, granted, not great, but working behind Romo would be a good thing for him, you would think. And your only really worry there for then is Ken Lynch, can he be that guy to make you go, to let you go 2-2 if and when Romo gets hurt? He misses those four games. So, you know, that's the worry there. Can Lynch get you that 2-2? Semien probably can. I don't know if Lynch can. That's my only worry there. But, you know, Denver makes sense as well. I'm sure John Elway wants to win now because he has to realize Semien is not going to beat New England. Lynch right now not going to beat New England. That's not going to happen. Romo could. Right now, Denver without Romo, with these guys, is not even the best team in their division.
Agreed. You know, I didn't like their chances going into this year because of the uncertainty of quarterback, and it ended up being their downfall. You could game manage it all you want, but when it comes to being in that division with two teams that were two teams are better than them, clearly the Raiders had a better season, and the Chiefs keep rolling along, and they don't even, you know, people aren't even in love with their quarterback, but they keep rolling along. I think the last thing I'll say before we hit a break is that, you know, one of these teams is going to get Romo, the other, especially if it's Houston, they're going to be in a really tough spot for QB because they're going to have Savage and they're probably going to draft guys like not necessarily first rounders, you know, just look for developmental guys in the second round. But then really, you got the Niners and the Jets are the only two teams. If you want to throw Cleveland in there, that's fine, but Cleveland kind of has quarterbacks on their roster that they can put out there, right, when they're in the middle of a long rebuild. The only really two landing spots for somebody potentially are the Niners and the Jets, and the Niners just signed two guys that they might throw Hoyer out there for another year. The Jets are the only ones. It would be Houston. Let's say he signs with Denver. It would be Houston and the Jets are the only two teams with a gaping hole at quarterback, which, like, what does that even do for the quarterback market? We expected some of these guys to get some burn, but really, like Kaepernick and Cutler, those types of guys, they're just looking to catch on with a team. Forget being a starter somewhere.
Well, that's why, like I said, the loser of the Romo sweepstakes between Houston and Denver is going to feel awfully bad about not giving up the draft pick. And I'll say it again. I think as a Cowboy fan, I think Dallas better for leasing him and taking the, you know, taking the cap hit over two seasons. I think it's better for the team. But, you know, they're waiting for a draft pick. So if we go about it in that sense, whoever doesn't give up the draft pick, you know, if Dallas does release Romo and he signs with Houston, Denver's going to hate themselves, or vice versa. Romo goes to Denver, Houston's going to hate themselves. These are both possible championship caliber teams. The defense is there. They have other weapons on offense. They're just missing a quarterback. And you're not going to beat Brady. You're not going to beat Pittsburgh or Roethlisberger with Semien and or Tom Savage or a rookie, whoever else you bring in. It's not going to happen. It's going to be too difficult to beat those teams with, you know, Hall of Fame worthy quarterbacks. You know, two of the best we have in the NFL, and that's the way I look at it. It's not like Dallas is asking for three number ones. What's the worst case? Really, the worst case scenario for a team if Dallas actually got everything they wanted would be a three could go up to a two probably, and that's worst case scenario. I think if you offered a four going up to a three, gets the job done. I think Dallas will take that, and everyone's happy here. And so, you know, you're giving up, really? That's what's holding you back? A fourth-round pick is holding you back from getting the quarterback you might need to go to the Super Bowl? Really? In my mind, in today's NFL, that's just – what we see guys go for quarterbacks, that's just silly to not pay that price, assuming Dallas isn't looking, like I said, for a one and a four that Minnesota got for Bradford last year. You know, assuming they're looking for just the best available pick they can get. It's just silly in today's NFL.
Yeah, we'll keep reviewing this and a few more topics in the NFL when we come back. Mike and George after this. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning, George and I talking about free agency. Kind of beat the quarterback situation into the ground. But it's like we said, George, these last couple of weeks, despite the fact that the individual players involved in all of this aren't really anybody to be that excited about, put Romo to the side for this for a moment, it's still intriguing because of how many teams were up in the air on what they were going to do. Now, they seem to be piecing it together with guys that nobody's really all that excited about, you know, and we'll see if Jay Cutler actually retires, which got floated out there, which I don't see it, but, you know, one of these guys will end up with the Jets, even if it's Geno Smith coming back, but one of those guys will end up with the Jets, and The Niners will do something long term. The Niners Kirk Cousins thing, it's too hard to extract them from one another at this point. If Shanahan really is that big a believer, he is just going to wait around and they'll break the bank with every dime that they have. Will there be other teams competing? Sure, but the Niners, given that connection, would likely come in the highest next year if they're all in on that plan.
I mean, and that's where Kirk Cousins wants to go, right? He said that over and over again, that he wants to go to San Fran. He wants to be with Shanahan. But just once again, all fine and good. I have no problem with Cousins. Apparently he doesn't like Bruce Allen, the GM of what's going on in the front doors there.
Who does?
Yeah, I think it's he's really upset. I mean, but I'll say this as well. Now, Mike, we're baseball guys, football guys, hockey and basketball too, for that matter. How many times do we hear about, oh, I hate the general manager, hate the manager, hate that, 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 that. If Washington comes in next year and offers him the $75 million guaranteed, $120 million contract, guess who he's signing with?
Yeah.
This is all just posturing.
Yeah. If it's a tiebreaker, yeah, he probably gets out of Washington if he finds himself in a better spot. But is he going to turn down tons of money? No. We talked about it last week, the irony of this Kirk Cousins thing and how frustrated guys would probably get with the franchise tag is he's going to clear $40 million in guaranteed money in these two seasons.
Yeah.
And as long as he stays healthy, you'd have to put the minimum of the guarantee at 60. So it'll be over $100 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins in a three-year span. Frankly, less than that. Really like a 25-month span is when he's going to pull all that off.
For Kirk Cousins.
Which would be the most ever. Now, I was in D.C. This week, and I have to tell you, they are completely distraught with the situation that's occurred. With McLuhan getting pushed out, fired, with the Kirk Cousins uncertainty, with losing DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, that's kind of what I wanted to get to next. We knew that was going to happen, dude, and we called it, and I don't think it was a tough call at all, but God, those receivers hightailed it out of town quickly. We didn't know exactly who was going to go where. We knew Tampa was going to end up with one of them, but certainly DeSean Jackson signing with Tampa and leaving Washington as dust, and Pierre Garçon signing with San Francisco and leaving Washington as dust. They don't feel good about that at all.
That tells you something. I mean, listen, Washington's been dysfunctional for a while, pretty much under Dan Schneider. It's been dysfunctional. He is probably not as bombastic as George Steinbrenner was, but he's very much egotistical, a lot like Jerry Jones, thinks he knows what he's doing, doesn't really. At least he does have his own GM, I guess. But things certainly isn't a smooth sailing ship there, not at all. So you said it, Pierre Garçon couldn't wait to get away. He's gone. He takes the money in San Fran. Once again, Shanahan, another connection there. And DeSean Jackson, I guess we knew DeSean Jackson was going to leave. Tampa Bay makes sense. I thought maybe he'd go back to Philadelphia, but they get their Alshon Jeffrey. Terrell Pryor goes to Washington. It's a big game of musical chairs, really. I think my biggest shock out of all this was that Pryor had to settle for a one-year $6 million contract with $2 million, pretty easy incentive. So it's really 1 year, $8 million. That's a prove it. I guess it's a prove it, do it again contract. I'm just surprised. I thought he did enough last year to get a decent deal. I mean, that's the only mistake I think Cleveland made here, is that if you're gonna eat the $16 million, or if you're willing to eat the $16 million of the Osweiler contract, how on earth don't you franchise Terrell Pryor?
Well, yeah, but if they franchised him, George, they'd be paying him way above what the market ended up bearing.
But it's 1 year. Isn't that worth more than Osweiler?
That's a different, yeah. I mean,
they ended up reading the market wrong anyway.
Well, on Pryor?
Yeah.
I actually give them a little bit of credit for reading the market properly. What I would say is this. I don't think there's any way that they weren't involved with discussions with Pryor and his agent if it was in this range, the 1 year, $8 million. Pryor, obviously, the agent obviously put feelers out there. This is the best deal that they could get, 1 year at $8 million.
So how does Cleveland keep him for that?
Because I think, well, this is total speculation.
And he wanted to stay in Cleveland. It's not like he was trying to get out of Cleveland. He wanted to stay in Cleveland.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe
it. I believe it. I think he liked playing with Hugh Jackson. He came over to Oakland from him.
Possible. Well, he enters the Gong Show in Washington. I don't know if it's going to be a positive for him. At least he'll be a legitimate target for Cousins.
He's got a better quarterback. I think it will be a positive.
That's right. So, you know, maybe this prove-it deal ends up playing out for him long-term. He's obviously got that just transitioned to this position. But in some ways, I agree. I think it wasn't tough for the Browns to keep Pryor, but it's a good thing that they didn't break the bank. But the franchise tag would be, what, $16 million? Now, does the Osweiler thing impact that in some ways? I don't know. That's why I don't really love it. I don't know. They still have a lot of financial flexibility. To their credit, they also went out and signed a bunch of offensive linemen. There's two teams that were in horribly desperate need of offensive line, and that was Minnesota and Cleveland to some extent, and they both actually went after them. Kudos to the Vikings for addressing their number one need on their team. So they got after it a little bit too. But the Pryor thing was curious. I was really surprised that it was as low a deal as it was. Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon crushed it. $47.5 million, $20 million guaranteed. Gets a $12 million signing bonus. He can make up to $16 million.
How does he get more than Pryor? He got more than Alshon Jeffrey. I like Garçon, but he's not better.
I like Garçon a lot. Well, the market has shown that he is better than Pryor. Clearly, the Alshon Jeffrey thing, I think. The one-year $14 million deal certainly isn't what he was looking for, but I think it's obvious his agent ran into a lot of questions and a lot of question marks, and teams weren't willing to bet on Alshon Jeffrey long-term for some of the reasons that you said, you know, in the past, the Alvin Harper comparison and everything else. It would be a difficult situation to bet on somebody like Pierre Garçon, Alshon Jeffrey. I wouldn't do it. I actually really liked Pierre Garçon as a value. He probably got a little bit more than I expected with long term, but the way that deal is structured isn't huge cap hits. You know, we're talking about a $9 million average, basically $9.5 million. So, pretty good deal. I think Washington, San Francisco does a good job there in pulling him away from Washington and giving them a legit option. You know, they move on from Torrey Smith, so it's Curley, it's Garçon. And they'll continue to build from there. Still a lot more pieces to be added in San Francisco, so I can't even grade. I like the signing. You can't grade what the team has done because there's too many other pieces that need to fall into place.
Yeah, I think with Garçon, I think, once again, he's also the Alvin Harper comparison. As a number one, I think he's going to struggle. I don't think he's that type of receiver at all. And I like Garçon. Hell, he won me a couple of fantasy leagues this year. Gary Hamblay played great, but he had a very good core. Remember, he had DeSean Jackson, Crowder, Jordan Reed. He has none of that in San Fran. Yeah, he's going to find the going much tougher now. I don't think he's a number one at all. I think he's made for it to be a number two, which is what he's been his whole career. It's why he's excelled with Marvin Harrison in Indianapolis, then with the players I just mentioned in Washington. So I think it's intriguing. I think the money for the wide receivers dried up. Yeah, that's exactly right. What we saw here. It just dried up, and it dried up quickly. Because you're talking, these moves were done. Remember, his free agency only started Thursday. And this was done Friday night, Saturday, so it dried up quickly. I was just surprised. These deals, the 1 year for Jeffrey, $14 million, 1 year of 6 to 8 for Pryor, I'm just surprised they had to be done so quick. Why didn't you wait? You know, why couldn't you wait a week or two? Why did it have to be done so quickly? You know, maybe Jeffrey did want a prove-it year. I get that. He got $14 million, so his average annual value is fine. You know, maybe he wanted to prove it before he gets the big multi-year deal. That makes sense. The Pryor deal to me makes just I don't understand that one at all. I don't understand why he had to sign that now. Why couldn't he wait to see if something else opened up for him? You know, with teams that maybe lose out, there are certain teams right now that are waiting on other deals, and if those deals don't come through, okay, then they'll go back to a wide receiver. Maybe they're trying to sign Dante Hightower for a big a big deal here. That's their first move here. But if they don't get him, they might come back. Maybe Denver and Houston are all worried about Romo, and they're not worried about wide receivers yet. I understand that he doesn't fit there, but I'm just using it as an example. Our teams just weren't focusing on wide receivers yet. We're only in day four. Yeah. So I don't understand why the agent felt the need to sign this so quickly. Unless Pryor said, hey, I want to sign now. Or maybe Pryor wanted to go to Washington. I don't know.
Yeah. One more thing before we hit a break quickly. We're going to have a short segment to close it out. But the fact that the Browns jumped on Kenny Britt in the manner that they did and then didn't keep Terrell Pryor around, I think is what makes them look bad in all of their moves. I would rather have Terrell Pryor than Kenny Britt, straight up. And they gave Kenny Britt a lot of money, and they didn't keep Terrell Pryor. So I think that's what makes them look curious. They obviously have a lot of young wide receivers on the roster. So we'll take a quick break. I'll get your thoughts on that, and we'll finish out the show at the end of the hour. So Mike and George back after this. Welcome back. A few minutes before we wrap up, and then I'll hand it off to Tony Cicada and Cha-Cha on Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. Once again, the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2017 is here. Stay ahead of the competition with in-depth articles and insights from our award-winning analysts. Prepare for your draft with our new and improved cheat sheet generator. Get access to fully sortable projections and over 800 player profiles. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount on the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. So, just gave some thoughts, really, about how the Browns kind of moved some stuff around before the break. It's just kind of wacky. You know, I can't even, I don't know if I can give them any grades yet. They kind of broke the internet with the whole Osweiler thing, and you know, they continue to, a lot more moves to be made for them.
Thinking so, outside the box.
Yeah, I can, which I can appreciate. I just don't know that, you know, talking about flipping Osweiler, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, that market was gauged before they traded for him, so they're just going to have to eat.
I'm shocked there is a market for Osweiler.
Yeah, me too. I don't think there is one. That's my point. I don't think there is one.
I don't think, as far as grading Cleveland, until we find out who their quarterback is, whatever, because of the draft, the trade, whatever it is, their grade is incomplete, in my mind. Until we find out who their starting quarterback is, and I don't think it's Osweiler. We know it's not RG3. He's gone. It's incomplete. And one thing I want to say about free agency, you know, I think fans have to realize, when you hear all these big numbers thrown out, he always signed for, you know, 6 years and blah, blah, $40 million. That's all BS. The only thing you care about is guaranteed money.
That's right.
You know, after that, nothing else matters. Because Andrew Brandt has the greatest saying. He goes, all these guys that have been signed in 2017 are the first guys released in 2019. He goes, most contracts are 2 years. That's where the guaranteed money runs out. After 2 years, where if they're not performing, they go bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, as a player, you're just trying to extract as much money out of those first 3 years of the deal as you can, right? You have a good year. They're going to keep you around, and barring you playing badly, you'll get a third year out of it. But in general, you're right. It's 2 years, and the team can just get out on it. You know, 5 year deals. They can amortize that bonus, eat a little bit of that money with the cap.
2 years,
going
and
up.
We'll see.
That's right. That's pretty much what it is. 2 years, and we'll see. For the players, you really have to just look at it as 2 and 3 year deals. How much money can I get out of that three? So if I got, like, Pierre Garçon gets a $12 million signing bonus, it's 20 guaranteed, but he can get an extra $4 million this year. So you're trying to extract all the incentives out of that first year, that second year, especially somebody like him who's 29. I think he's going to be 30 next season. So, that's kind of what you're looking at. Ultimately, we will see exactly how Garçon does. I like that signing. I'm a fan of his. I thought what the Bucks did with DeSean Jackson was smart. You can argue with the money, but he was the first. I think he was the first guy, really, the first chip that fell. We knew that was going to happen before Thursday even came around, and that was a power move by them. They needed to team somebody with Mike Evans, and why not have somebody that can still take the top off of the defense in Jackson?
Yeah, I think that was a great move by Tampa Bay. That offense, if they can get a decent running back there in Tampa. I mean, Doug Martin's got the suspension coming. They did re-sign Jacquizz Rodgers, yay. But if they get a decent running game there, I mean, Jameis Winston's going to be dangerous. You already got Mike Evans. We know he's great. And we were arguing yesterday, where does he go in fantasy as far as wide receivers are concerned? No lower than fourth for me behind Jones, Beckham, and Brown. But you got DeSean Jackson. I don't think Jackson's numbers fantasy-wise take a great hit. I just think NFL-wise, now he opens up things for Evans even more. And Cameron Brait, he's going to have all those underneath routes to run. Oh, man, Jameis Winston is going to be thrilled with his options in the passing game.
I would even admit I'm not as big a DeSean Jackson fan as some people are, but in that offense, that's a ideal fit. I just think it's a perfect complement of weapons that they have. They can figure out what to do at running back. I don't think it's going to be a primary concern. Obviously, there's a lot of money there with Martin, but he hasn't been released yet, so they're kind of in on Doug Martin for the time being. Maybe there's a June 1st cut or something like that, but right now Doug Martin is going to be the running back after he gets through with his suspension at the beginning of the year. So, George, we could continue talking free agency for probably another 3 hours, but I think it's a good note to end on that Tampa's fantasy outlook on offense is trending very much upward.
Yeah, you got to love what they've done there. Tampa with Jameis Winston, they're going to be a good team, the defense. I mean, the teams that have really done well, Tampa, like Jacksonville with their additions here, New England. It's a fun time of the season for the NFL.
No doubt. Good stuff, George. Thanks for hanging with me. Folks, thanks for listening to us. George and I will be back next Saturday. Enjoy the NCAA selection show, the tournament, March Madness, Fantasy Bagels and Baseball up next.